pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Still to come, Carl Crowder of Alabama Appleseed. One of my favorite bleeding heart liberals will be with us. They got some kind of legislation deal with prisons they're pushing. So today, why don't you come on and talk about it, and we'll see what that's all about. And then, by the way, a little bit of breaking news. If you didn't catch the end of the last hour, Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News. I think he walked away from it, but that is just my opinion. I don't have any insight into this, but we'll talk about that more as the show unfolds. Joining us now on the line, very grateful for this next gentleman. Very grateful that he's coming on our program, but he's a state senator from Colbert County up in the Shoals area, northwest Alabama. State Senator Larry Stutz on with us. So, Senator, good morning. How are you?
Great, Jeff. How are you? Thanks for having me on your show again.
I am doing well. Thank you for making time for us this morning. So, obviously, we want to get you on one last big push here before the legislature considers it. But the Price Act, I think probably this year's best shot at school choice. This is the week, a pretty big week for this. Talk to us a little bit about it.
Well, it absolutely is a big week. We have it in committee on Wednesday morning, and we have a public hearing on it on Wednesday morning, and then I hope to vote it out of committee after the public hearing.
Well, what kind of feedback are you getting? Do you think you got something that at least lawmakers will work with? Where does it go?
I hope so. There's been a lot of work put into the bill over the last several years, and then specifically this year with the Price Act. And, you know, I understand that I'm the sponsor, but I honestly really have trouble seeing how anybody can be against it. It is it's just complete freedom of choice. If, you know, if you don't want to participate, you don't have to participate. If a school does not want to participate, then they don't have to. So it's not a requirement for anybody to be involved. And if you are conservative and you think that it's a fundamental right of parents to make decisions for their children, and you think we need to make improvements in education, then I honestly don't see any way that you cannot be for the bill.
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about this over the past few years, Senator, trying to get some kind of school choice up and running in Alabama. And I like that it works at a sort of, a voluntary basis, but is it something that is applicable statewide, or is it? Do you think it works no matter what kind of school system, what kind of infrastructure you got in place?
Well, I absolutely think so, and you know, there are roughly 400 non-public schools across the state, and so there are not many areas of the state at all that will not be reached by this. And so it certainly is applicable statewide. And, you know, if you have the money, follow the child. And even if there's not a private school in your area, but you give parents that option, you know, you could very conceivably, with 100 students, you could start a school. And the parents are ultimately accountable for how the school does, you know. And the fact is, excuse me, if you look at the numbers nationwide, only about 1.5 to 2% of the children move schools when school choice is instituted. So there's not going to be a mass exodus from public schools. And But I believe competition makes everyone better. And so, you know, if you have a good school in your area, you're going to stay there. If you are pleased with the school that your children currently attend and what they're being taught, you're not going to move. So there's not going to be mass numbers of people that move out of a particular school, but it gives parents the option. And it, most importantly, it holds the schools accountable. The more you can involve the parents in a child's education, the more success you have. And so if the parents have options, that makes the schools more accountable at all levels. So it's about putting the parents' hands on the steering wheel of deciding what direction we're going to go.
Senator, one of the some of the critics from the right come at you. I just want to get you to respond to it, but they're worried about the impact it might have on homeschools, that it's a way for the government to get its tentacles into, you know, these private schools as well, as a way to get involved in that private sector, where parents want to get away from the government dictating an education, and by taking government funds out of the government sector and put them into the private sector, some of these private schools, they might have say over what's being taught. What do you say to that?
Well, that's absolutely not the case with this. Number one, I would phrase it differently, that it's not government money, it's your money. And we're simply putting the money in an education savings account to allow you to spend it how you want to spend it. And there's no requirement in the bill that would give the government any control over your private school or over your homeschool situation. But again, if you're overly concerned about that, then don't participate. That's why it's completely voluntary from the student and parent side, and also from the school side. So if you have a private school and you say, we're not going to take any of that money because we're concerned about that, then you say, we're not going to participate with the education savings account, and you're not required to. So it's complete freedom on the parent side and on the school side. But there's nothing in the bill that requires you to submit any curriculum or any of those type requirements. The thing that we do have in the bill for strict accountability, so that, again, the parents are informed consumers, is that you have to share the data with the parents. So if you test, if you have standardized tests, if you have required testing, what those tests are, and then you have to share the results with the parents. So, and if you don't test, if you have a private school now that does not do any testing, then you have to share that information up front with the parents that we do not do any testing. But the fact is, the vast majority of homeschoolers and of private schools have standardized testing that they follow, and there's no requirements in the bill to change that. And I'm not against any type of testing, but it should be the parents' choice. You know, you can't manage what you don't measure. And so if we're looking at student achievement, we have to have some measure of student achievement. And basically everyone already does that.
But as the bill stands, as it's currently constituted, it's not a Trojan horse to get into homeschooling situations or private schools that don't want government intrusion. There's just nothing in there that would afford or allow for that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I know that term's been used, but it's not a Trojan horse. And again, it's not government money. It's simply giving you part of your state tax money back to spend for your children's education in the way that you want to spend it. Now, to prevent fraud in that area, I mean, it does have to be, the parents aren't just given the money. The money is put in the education savings account, and you would have a debit card, but, you know, you can only use it for approved education expenses, and you can only use it with an approved education vendor. I mean, you can't just say, well, I'm going to have a school with my children, and we're going to take the money, and you know, the homeschoolers have coverage with umbrella organizations that where they work together in a great fashion, and this is not going to impede that at all.
Yeah, so, like, again, though, how is this different than anything that's been tried in the past? And, you know, Senator Marsh had his effort last year. Didn't really go very far. When we talk about it, it seems to get a lot of buzz initially, and then you know how these things go in the Alabama legislature. Why do you think this time could be different?
Well, because it, number one, is complete freedom, and it's completely voluntary. But the other one other thing that is an important difference with the previous legislation that we had is if you have money left over in your education savings account, you can roll it over to the next year. And after you are graduated from high school, no additional money is added, but then you can use the money for education purposes until you're 21 years old, much like the military benefits are for a dependent child whose parent maybe died in the military or something, and they have educational benefits until they're 21 years old. And this is kind of patterned after that. And so if you're a homeschooler, in Senator Marsh's bill, if you didn't spend the money at the end of the year, then it rolled back into the education trust fund. And so there was no incentive for you to be economical with how you use these education dollars. And so in this bill, you know, you could conceivably have enough money to pay for a year or two of college or a year or two of trade school when you're graduated from high school. So you're incentivized to be economical with the money. The other plus of that is, you know, if you have a private school and we'll say their tuition, just for discussion, was $8,000 a year, and the school could say, well, you've been paying $8,000 a year, and now you're going to get $6,900 a year, so we're going to raise our tuition to $14,000 a year because you were already, you know, able to pay that. Well, that part of the bill incentivizes the parents to say, no, you're not. You know, you've been balancing your budget on $8,000 a year, and just because we're getting some of our tax money back to use toward tuition doesn't mean you can have a blank check to raise tuition. So there's accountability built into it to prevent schools from just doubling their tuition just because this money's available.
Joined by State Senator Larry Stutzman, just a couple of more minutes here. Senator, I guess this is, I hear some of your colleagues, it just doesn't, it's not something they hear about, but it's important for those that really want school choice to let their
absolutely
lawmakers know, right?
And I hope they will hear about it. I hope that people will contact their senators and their representatives and say, you need to support this. This is what we want. You know, the squeaky wheel does get the grease. And I absolutely would encourage everyone to contact the legislature. Excuse me.
And
one other thing that it will be a big benefit to is military families. Because if you move into the state, maybe you came from a state where you had some school choice, or, you know, one of the detriments to us being a very real military friendly state is our education and our ranking in education. And if we give active duty military families this option, then it certainly makes Alabama a more attractive state for them to want to move to or to stay in when maybe their time in the military is finished. And we do have that provision in the bill that that military families are eligible from year one, because there is a 3-year phase in. But if you're active duty or retired military, you are eligible year one. And also, if you're in foster care, you're eligible year one. So we've tried to broaden the base and reach some of the people that need to be reached. And then also, if you know, you're from a failing school, you're eligible year one. So we're trying to reach the people that really need choices in education.
Senator, you're very kind. I know days off, you cram a lot in, but we appreciate you making time for us this morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Jeff. I always enjoy talking to you, and I'm glad that you're doing well.
Hey, the same. I hope you're doing well as well. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.